Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And every day, I feel like we live in a world that just cannot get enough hope because we just have so much going on. And every week, I know I'm saying this, and I think, okay, next week, there can't be more, can there? But yes, you can look at the Middle East on fire, under conflict. You can look at the Southeast here in the United States underwater. We still have contentious presidential politics going on. There are a lot of things that are really concerning, but we are going to prescribe hope today because I'm really excited to have as my guest someone from an organization called 8 Days of Hope. Now, some of my faithful listeners may recognize this organization from other shows that have featured it through Across American Family Radio. And Steve Tiber was on my show in January talking specifically about one arm of their organization, and that is building shelters for people who have been trafficked. And if you'll remember, we talked to Steve in January. That show was on January 17th, by the way, if you want to go back and listen to it. And there had been a massive blizzard in upstate New York, and he was snowed in his house. So here we are living, breathing all of that, you know, just craziness that is. And I know that you, like me, our hearts are just breaking for people who have lost everything, people who have lost loved ones, people who have lost their homes, their jobs, just so much. But today we're going to talk to you about what you can do to help, what organizations, what efforts are there on the ground, what that looks like, and what you can do. So my guest today is Chandler Gurley. She's the director of operations from 8 Days of Hope. And Chandler, I know that you are really busy. You're in Georgia right now. You are moving around. You are working. So thank you so much for taking a moment to step away and to speak with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Just giving me the opportunity to share all kinds of things. I loved your opening line. We are prescribing hope, and that is so beautiful. And you'll hear all about that here at 8 Days of Hope.
That's awesome. And Chandler, we're having a little trouble with your connection there, but just my listeners, be patient because she is in a disaster area. And so we're going to see if we can push through this and work through it. So Chandler, tell us about 8 Days of Hope. It has 4 main arms, 4 things that it does. And you just told me right before we came on that 3 of the 4 of them are activated. And so tell us what 8 Days of Hope is doing on the ground.
Yes. So we're currently in Valdosta, Georgia right now. This is one of the hardest hit areas from the hurricane, aside from North Carolina. We currently have a lot of volunteers here that are serving families that helped so much. We're in Valdosta, Georgia, and Perry, Florida. The hurricane hit a Thursday. And we were able to carry for us on Friday to start beginning to serve meals to those families that didn't have power. 100% of that county was out of power. And so we just finished in Perry, Florida yesterday, and my feeding team is in Canton, North Carolina right now. So we're going to be setting tonight, but down right now for Perry to Canton. So we're going to
Hey, Chandler, if you can hear me, we are having a real hard time with your connection, but I know that cell service is extremely difficult. So
Yes. Hold
on. I'm just going to let you talk with my producer for just a second, and
Okay. We're
going to see if we can get that fixed so that we can make sure that. Okay.
Move.
Yeah. Okay. That would be great. Maybe try that and let's see. All right. Go ahead and talk to me, Chandler. Let's see if we can
okay.
hear you.
Hey, can you hear me?
That is a little better. Okay, let's try it. Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Okay, I'm gonna keep, yes, I can keep walking this way and I can hear y'all.
Okay.
Fine.
So listen, we are talking to Chandler Gurley from 8 Days of Hope. She is on the ground in Valdosta, Georgia, as a first responder, really providing a lot of very important information. I know the cell connections have been difficult, but this is important information. So hang in there with us and let's see if we can get a good connection. And Chandler, I'm going to ask you to start again to tell us about the four efforts of 8 Days of Hope. And let's make sure that we get that.
Yes, ma'am. So we have four arms of 8 Days of Hope. We have our rapid response arm. We have our mass feeding arm. We have a safe house construction arm. And we have a rebuilding arm. And currently, three out of the four arms are deployed. We have a safe house going on in Texas. We have our mass feeding ministry that responded right after Hurricane Helene, the day after, in Perry, Florida. Our rapid response ministry is based out of Valdosta, Georgia, where I'm coming from this afternoon speaking to all of you. And we're actually moving our mass feeding unit as we speak to Canton, North Carolina. So we are all over the southeast in the center part of the state in Texas right now, loving and serving those in need after the storm.
Well, tell us what you're seeing right now on the ground, looking around. What is it? I mean, we all see the images on television, but tell us what you've experienced and what you've seen.
Yes, I'm actually right outside of our host church right now talking to you, and I'm looking at homes with no roof. I am looking at homes with trees in the very center on cars. This area, we actually have no power currently right now. So the storm hit on Thursday. This is Wednesday, and there's still no power to this area in Valdosta. And so we are seeing so many linemen, so many organizations coming in to remove trees and to tarp roofs. And the devastation is real. The images that you're seeing and we're all seeing through the news and social media are magnified times 10 because you can only fit so much into one picture. But these are many, many suburbs and many, many communities. And we're just so thankful to be a small part of bringing hope to those that have lost so much.
Well, those images are just heartbreaking. And, you know, for me, Chandler, I've lived through that kind of devastation being a Gulf Coast resident and seeing the kind of destruction these storms can cause. And, you know, I'm thinking back to Hurricane Harvey, which was in 2017 here. And to imagine, if you've never been through something like this, just imagine if everything is wet and muddy and smells awful, just smells terrible. You have no air conditioning. You have no ice. You're walking up to a truck with a, you know, container that you're hoping to get some drinking water out of. You can't really cook any food. You don't have clean water to take a bath. You don't have cool air to sleep in. I mean, it is extremely devastating. And then you're looking around and you have just lost things and you're wondering, how in the world can we rebuild? So what is 8 Days of Hope? Because really, you can't imagine the feeling of hope when trucks start pulling through town, when you start to see gas trucks, when you start to see relief trucks, when you start to see supplies coming off. And I'm sure you all have that as you pull into town. What do you plan to do? How do you plan to help rebuild?
Yes, so we are currently with the rapid response arm, which we help to make the structure safe and secure so the family can at least stay there. So we are able to remove the trees. We're able to tarp the roofs. If there's flood damage, to bring mold and remediation materials in so that it's safe and the families can actually go back. We serve for 2 weeks with our rapid response arm unless we need to extend, and we have many, many times, and it looks like this is going to be one of those times where we just continue to stay and serve until we can't anymore. And so we're so thankful for communities that just respond so quickly, which Valdosta has in so many surrounding communities. And I think one thing that's unique about rapid response is you were here immediately after the storm, so you were able to be truly Jesus's hands and feet when you are feeling the impact. And like you were talking about, the smells and the sights, and you are experiencing chaos and you're experiencing just kind of numbness because you don't really realize what's happened to you because it is on such a massive scale. And for God to give us the opportunity to come and drive overnight and through the night to wake up with the people that are waking up with the storm, to be his face, to be his smile, to be his hands and his feet, and to say, yes, this is terrible. I hate that you're walking through this, but there is so much beyond what has happened to you, and there is someone that loves you and cares for you. And that's the message we want to portray when we come into these areas, is yes, we're not ignoring the reality. This is difficult. This is hard, but you're not alone and you're not forgotten. And God gives us the opportunity to be that vessel for his word to come out through us. I mean, that's what the Great Commission is, to go and make disciples of all nations. We get to embody him as we go, and we get to be his mouth as we go, and his hands and feet as we go. So rebuilding is going to take a lot of time. It is not immediate. So we're just here. We're here in the meantime to help them just get to the next step, so that their insurance companies, if they have insurance, can get all the things together for them. And then we typically come back to areas that are facing this much devastation in 6 to 9 months. And that is our fourth arm of ministry, our rebuilding arm, to come back and help rebuild these homes that are devastated and lost.
You know, I remember after Hurricane Harvey, my sister's house flooded really badly. And when the water finally receded, because you have to wait for that to happen, she walked in and just saw everything ruined, just ruined. And she was standing there just sobbing because she didn't know, where were her kids going to sleep? How was she going to feed them? Mm-hmm. How was she going to clothe them? Like, where do you even start? And then all of a sudden, before you knew it, there were strangers coming through with tools, just saying, hey, we're here to rip out sheetrock. We're here to help you, whatever it is. And I was standing there and I met the person next to me, and it was a principal of a local school. And 8 Days of Hope was here in our community rebuilding after Harvey. And y'all stayed a long time. And so I just want to share with my listeners that we have a personal connection and are so grateful for that. And in fact, what we had learned last time with Steve was that 8 Days of Hope started with a phone call from a father to a son after the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. And there's no one in the United States that doesn't know the devastation of Katrina. And it just has blossomed into so many beautiful things. And the number 8 means new beginning. So 8 Days of Hope, new beginnings, days of hope. So Chandler, I want to know, there are people on the ground who are listening, who are thinking, oh my goodness, we need help. We could use that help. How can they connect for people who are needing help, whether that's meals or whether that's rebuilding? Where are you? How can they connect with you?
For sure. Well, we have, I was before this interview sitting with our administrative assistant, and she answers every single phone call and every single email for this ministry. And so if you are needing immediate assistance and you are you're in Valdosta or you're in Canton, North Carolina, please email us at info@8daysofhope.com. And 8 is spelled out. It's not the number 8, but it's spelled out. EIGHT, daysofhope.com. She will respond and she will get you hooked up with our ministry, and we will be able to either assess your home, bring you food, bring you water, and bring you supplies. So that is the quickest and easiest way, because she does personally answer each email, and that way we will make sure that you're getting what you need, or we're going to connect you to a local church. And I would say, if you're not in Canton and if you're not in Valdosta, if you have needs and you're listening to this radio program, please still email us, because we have had so many churches reach out to us that are connected all over North Carolina and all over Georgia. And we can connect you with another ministry working in that area or another church that's already made contact with us to make sure you're taken care of, even if 8 Days of Hope isn't in your area.
Chandler, that is fantastic information. Thank you so much. There are so many listeners who see these images coming across the media, and it just breaks our heart, and we want to do something. So I'm going to repeat it just to make sure that our listeners heard it loud and clear. If you are near Valdosta, Georgia, or Canton, North Carolina, or if you have family there and you know someone there who needs help, you can email to info@8, that's EIGHT, spell it out, 8daysofhope.com. And even if you're not around there, if you're in any area that's affected, email them anyway. They have a big network of churches they can connect you to. Well, Chandler, I'm going to hold you over to the next segment, because the next step of that is, how can people volunteer? There are a lot of people who were not impacted who want to help in some way. And there are definitely a lot of ways that you can help, whether you go or whether you give or whether you pray. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Chandler with 8 Days of Hope, and we'll talk more about disaster response and finding hope, even in the circumstances that seem like hope is impossible. Hope is never impossible. We'll be right back right after this break.
Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
The Bible is inspired because its nature is the self-revelation of God. In other words, the authority of the Bible is the authority of God. Behind your doctrine of Scripture is a doctrine of God. The product of Scripture is the activity of God. The Scripture is the product of God the Holy Spirit, which is why God the Holy Spirit uses it in conversion and in sanctification. So what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source. And because we believe God to be the author of the Bible, we talk about the quality of the Bible as inspired or God-breathed.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
She was softly praying as the storm was bearing down. Everything's in ruins and scattered on the ground.
She cries, I don't even know how I'll make it through today.
Ah, but deep down she has something the rain can't wash away.
When there's faith in the water, love in these streets, worry on the faces of the people I meet. Oh, there's a resurrection coming for the world to see.
There's faith in the water and love in these streets.
Welcome back, friends. You're gonna have to give me a minute to wipe away my tears. Whew, I'm not even joking. That song is Faith in the Water by the Texas Red Dirt Choir. Faith in the Water, that is a song that was written after Hurricane Harvey happened on the Gulf Coast back in 2017. I was here for that. I had a front row seat to it. No one could have imagined 51 inches of rain in just a couple of days. It was truly unprecedented, and my heart feels so badly for everyone impacted, especially those up in the mountains of North Carolina. Who would have ever thought they would have been devastated by a Gulf Coast hurricane? And that's how it felt in Harvey. And let me tell you, this is not going to be a quick recovery. This is going to be rebuilding that is years in the making. I have lived through Hurricane Ike here on the Gulf Coast. I taught at a coastal university, and I taught for almost 3 years with plastic walls and paper floors and temporary HVAC systems. After Harvey, we had 8 days of hope right here in our community for months and months, and maybe it was even longer than that. So this is something that, yes, it's on the news this week, but don't forget about these families as time goes on. They are going to need help for a long time to come. We are so fortunate to be talking to Chandler Gurley, the Director of Operations for 8 Days of Hope. This is an organization that started after Hurricane Katrina. They have 4 main arms. 3 are deployed right now. They are feeding people. They are rebuilding things. They are having a rapid response to do things like gutting homes and getting them safe and tarping roofs. And if you missed it, right now, Chandler is standing on the steps of a church in Valdosta, Georgia. She has no power. She's looking at homes that have no roofs. She is looking at mass devastation. If you are in Valdosta, Georgia, or Canton, North Carolina, or you know somewhere near there, I know we have a lot of listeners in North Carolina and other in the areas that were impacted. email info at 8, that's spelled out, E-I-G-H-T, 8daysofhope.com. Or even if you're not close to there, if you're impacted, email them. They will help connect you to a church. So Chandler, I want to get to how we can volunteer, but why don't you just tell us a little bit about you and how you ended up with 8 Days of Hope and your own story.
Yes, I would love to. So I graduated from Mississippi State in Mississippi in 2017, and that is actually the same year that Steve, the founder of 8 Days of Hope, left his corporate career to do 8 Days of Hope full-time. And after I graduated, I took an awesome internship with Global Outreach International, which is a local organization in Tupelo, Mississippi, that sends missionaries out on the field. And so I did that internship, and Steve, when he left his corporate career, he needed an office. And so he was renting an office from Global because 8 Days of Hope didn't have a national headquarters. It had no building. We were keeping our equipment and our tools at a friend's shop in New Albany, Mississippi. And so every day I would see Steve, and I would just say, hello, hey, I hope you have a great day, or have a good evening. Tell the kids I said hello, just very, very small talk. And at the end of my internship, we had a discussion about what it would look like to come on board with 8 Days of Hope. And so I interviewed to be his assistant, and I accepted that position in 2017. And then and the rest is history. I've been here for 7 years now. I was his assistant for 3 years. And the last 4 years, I have been the director of operations for this ministry. And it has just been an incredible journey just to see the power of the gospel, the power of showing up for people, the power that Jesus truly has when you are facing families that have lost everything. And there's nothing else for them to cling on, not their cars, their homes, their possessions. And they are seeking desperately for something more than that. And you get to be the one that is his mouthpiece to share that there is more than your house, there is more than your cars, there is more than your possessions or your dreams. It's hope in Jesus. You know, it's hope in an eternal life with him. And the Lord just has placed on my heart from a very young age, I just want to be about his business, not my business. I want to be about his mission in the world, not my mission in the world. And I never in a million years thought he would lead me to a disaster relief organization to accomplish that. And he has. And I have just seen him move so mightily through through disasters and through people at their lowest point and getting to offer them something that really does work. It's not a gimmick. Hope is not a term that it might even seem like it's overused because it seems so simple. Like, is there hope? Does hope actually work? And it's not the word, it's the person that represents hope. It's Jesus. Jesus is hope, and he is enough. He is enough to overcome the damage and the destruction we see so many times a year. This is our 10th rapid response outreach in 2024. So wow. We have seen massive amounts of devastation just in this year alone. This is our 61st rapid response for the entire organization's history since it started in 2014 with the rapid response arm. And we see devastation so often. And sometimes you do think to yourself when you come into these areas, especially like Valdosta, when you're like, okay, God, like, really, the honest truth is, are you enough? Are you enough to help these people that just watch their home float away, or the trees that have just totally crumbled, everything these families have saved and have kept in the memories? Like, are you really enough? And he proves time and time again that he is enough. And then we don't have to add anything to him. Like, he is enough on his own. And I love that he continues to show me that when I forget that. And he's just put me in a beautiful position to get to experience the power of the gospel and the power of hope and the power that rests in his name. And so that is a very short version of how I got here and what God has been doing the last 7 years of my life.
Well, Chandler, it's not Sunday, but I feel like you just took us to church. So I appreciate that. And listen, I'm going to say that, you know, there's a lot of people who want to help. And there are people who are worried about the credibility of organizations. If I give this money, how much is actually going to go? I can tell you that 8 Days of Hope is an organization that you can get behind and that you can give to with confidence that they are doing such good work. I've seen it myself here in the Houston area, in the 4B area. After Harvey, I saw you do this. I have talked with Steve about the work you're doing in anti-trafficking and looking at what you're doing. So definitely think about giving. It's 8, that's spelled out, E-I-G-H-T, daysofhope.com, and you can donate. And you know, Chandler, after Hurricane Harvey, there were people who really wanted to do good things but send things. And I found myself in a sorting facility where people had sent medical supplies, and we had expired medication, we had used medical devices, we had narcotics that were just sent. I mean, very dangerous situations. But there are some ways that you can volunteer and you can do things in a way that will be helpful, because that's what we want. Our heart is to be helpful. So what are ways that people can help with 8 Days of Hope and volunteer?
Well, the first way is to volunteer. If you are able to travel, you're able to make your way to us. We have one outreach right now that is accepting volunteers, and that is the Valdosta, Georgia Rapid Response Outreach. We're going to be here until Sunday, October 13th, with a chance to extend here or move to another location in need right after. And so if you are in a position to come, please come, and you can find all the volunteer information on our website. And I want to say one thing when it comes to coming, if we provide your food, we provide your lodging, the only expense you're going to have is your fuel from wherever you are in the country to come and find us in Valdosta. That will be the only expense you're going to incur whenever you're with us. We have had very, very generous donors that cover our food costs and our lodging costs whenever we are deployed. So there's no cap on volunteering for this outreach, so we would love to have you. If you are not able to travel, I just really encourage you first to pray. There is power in prayer, and it is enough. If you're in a position in life where you have to work or you have small children or you're just not able to get in a car and come and serve and be the physical hands and feet, there is power in laying your request and laying the families that have lost so much over this country at his feet and trusting him that he will bring people to help them, that he will activate the local church, that he will provide the needs of his people, and trusting him with that. So I just implore you to please pray and don't neglect prayer, because you can't physically be where the storm and the damage is. And then lastly, please consider donating. Just like Ms. Jessica said, we are an organization that I am so proud of. And one of my favorite things that we do and we uphold here at 8 Days of Hope is every dollar given for disaster relief, for this Hurricane Helene, goes straight to the front lines. It can be to cover the meals that are here. It could be to cover the equipment that we're going to run here and the fuel. It can go straight towards supplies. But whenever you give according to the hurricane or the devastation, it goes straight here, and it's going to be used in this community. And depending on the outpouring of support, like I said about volunteering and about if you're needing help, we have been connected with so many churches and so many other organizations that are multiplying all over these areas, and we are able to give and support them as well. So while we can do that is because we have national partners. We have 22 national partners all over the country, AFA being one of them, that gives a certain amount every year that covers our fixed cost of ministry. So all of our salaries, our light bills, our equipment, all is covered by monies given specifically for that, so that we can have the 100% pass-through policy.
Well, I'm just looking.
You can get involved.
That is fantastic. And I'm looking at some of these statistics, and I see that 8 Days of Hope has had 57,373 volunteers from all 50 states serving 10,527 families, 28,730 meals, completing $84.4 million of work. That is absolutely amazing. That is absolutely amazing. So I'm going to give you this information again. Again, you can go to 8, that's E-I-G-H-T, 8daysofhope.com. You can email info@8daysofhope. That's spelled out E-I-G-H-T. Again, I'm saying it again in case we have listeners who are just joining. If you are near Valdosta, Georgia or Canton, North Carolina, 8 Days of Hope is already there, present in that community. They can connect you to help. But if you are not near there, you can still email them right now and they can connect you with a local church that is helping. And, you know, that is the power of the local church. Right now, you're standing on the steps of a local church. Talk to us about how you partner with churches in the community to really bring help and hope that comes in the form of a hot meal and a shower and a, you know, sheetrock removal and a tarp on the roof. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your partnership with the church.
Yeah, well, we love the local church. We believe what the Bible says about a body of believers coming together to encourage one another and edify one another and be together and to share in this life, you know, the hope of Jesus and to implore you know him through this, you know, building. And we know it's not about the walls or the structure, but it is we come into these areas because we're only here for 14 days and it's in a couple weeks if we days, but the local church stays. And so what we have seen over the past almost 20 years of ministry is when we partner with a local church and we come in and say, "You," because most churches, unless they've gone through disasters, they are in Louisiana or Texas or anywhere in the South that have been through multiple disasters, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle the request. They don't know. They're in shock themselves. Their homes could be destroyed. Their church, part of the church could be destroyed. And so what we're able to come in and say is we want to partner with you and we want to help you help your community in a way that we know that we can take. We're not from here. We're not from Valdosta. So we're coming in with a mindset of we're here to serve you, we're here to help you, and we're here to engage your congregation and your members to either serve them if they're in need or to help them to go out and serve families in a way that we have been blessed to be structured and organized, and it's not chaotic. And
yeah.
Like, and you know, Chandler, disaster.
Before you mm-hmm. go, I want to ask you about the age, because I know there's some families yeah. who have teenagers. Can teenagers help?
Teenagers can. We have a policy where you can come if you're 16 years or older. Okay. So if you're 16 years or older, you are welcome to come at Rapid Response or Mass Feeding. If you're younger than 16, I'm so sorry, but you're not able to come during this time. It is a disaster area. So there's a lot of nails, a lot of wood, a lot of, you know, a lot. And for children, it's hard to see some of these things. Even as an adult, it's hard to see these things.
It is. But you know what? You've given us options for everybody, because every single person, no matter your age, can pray or you can give or you can serve. So whatever God has put on your heart, then do it. Make your feet follow your heart. Thank you so much, Chandler, yeah. for being on the show today. Listen, after the break, we are going to talk to Pastor Brian Haynes about the war that is erupting across the Middle East, what we need to know, and how we can pray. We'll be right back. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250BABY. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. For Dr. Nurse Mama, I'm Jessica Peck. Welcome back, friends. That's His Mercy Is More by Shane and Shane. Listen, we've been talking about all of the chaos that is going on in the world and finding hope. And we just heard from Chandler Gurley, the director of operation from 8 Days of Hope. If you are in Valdosta, Georgia or Canton, North Carolina, and you need help with your home or your safety or your food or shelter, email info@8daysofhope.com. That's EIGHT, 8daysofhope.com. And even if you are not there, they will connect you with one of their church partners there to make sure that you have help. I shared in the earlier segment that 8 Days of Hope was on the ground here at Hurricane Harvey and working with my next guest, Pastor Brian Haynes. We've had Brian on the show many, many times. And after I was watching the missiles that were launched from Iran to Israel yesterday, Brian, I just really am so grateful that you agreed to join us because we're coming up on October 7th, which is the 1-year anniversary of terrorist attack that happened in Israel. And so I'm just wondering, I want you to share with us your perspective. How do we understand these things with a Christian worldview, but realize, as you say often, we're looking at Eastern culture with Western eyes. What do we need to know and how do we need to pray?
Well, Jessica, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it. One of the things that I think about every time I see these things on the news and read of reports, I think one of the first things we need to keep in mind is that whether you're in Israel or Lebanon or Gaza, real people, humans, men and women, are being affected on all sides of the war. And it's unfortunate that people are suffering in such a significant way. And so last night when we saw the missile strike from Iran, it's heartbreaking because, as you know, I've spent a lot of time in Israel and Lebanon as well since about 2006. And I know the people that are hiding and in the bomb shelters and just dealing with the day-to-day anxiety. And so this is heartbreaking on the one hand. And for the Christian community, I always like to remind our people, and I'm glad to remind the listeners now, like, it doesn't matter if you're a mom in Gaza or a mom in Lebanon or a mom in Israel. Ethics and morals and, global economics and all those kinds of things aside, you're running from war with your family, and so it is a terrible and tragic thing. Interestingly, October 2 through October 4 is Rosh Hashanah in Israel. It's the Jewish New Year. It's the Festival of the Trumpets, commanded in the Torah. And it's really interesting because it's days of awakening to judgment. There's a lot theologically that takes place in these days. And that they're celebrating the Jewish New Year and thinking about a huge concept like judgment and going through what they're going through at the same time is just unreal from a biblical perspective. So there's a lot going on. I'm not an expert on all things military or conflict or any of that. I'm just one pastor that's been there and knows a lot of people there. But I would say that at least in my lifetime, this is a different kind of escalation than I've seen. I've seen Israel go into Lebanon in 2006. Of course, we had the Marines in 1983 in Beirut that faced massacre, basically. And so we've seen conflict, we've seen terrorism in our lifetime, but now you have, I think, a real effort on Israel's part to eliminate the biggest terroristic threats facing them, which is understandable because terrorism is intolerable and what they face is intolerable in that sense. But then you also have Lebanese people who... they're not necessarily pro-terrorism, but they're facing the difficulties of being on the other side of Israel's policies and strategies in these moments. And now we've got Iran engaged, and so it is a tense moment. And I think what the United States government decides to do and how they decide to partner in these days will really either de-escalate or escalate things in a new way. And so we definitely need to be praying, and we definitely need to remember, as we think about praying for the peace of Jerusalem, which as Christians we think about often because of the Psalms, we also have brothers and sisters in Christ in Lebanon that are on the other side of that, and brothers and sisters in Christ in the West Bank and Gaza that are on the other side of that, and real humanitarian crisis. And so it's just a lot to pray about, a lot to resource in Jesus' name, and complicated if you have relationships in all directions. I would encourage the church to embrace a kingdom view of all of this, if possible, which is asking yourself the question, like, how would Jesus walk in this? And of course, he's gonna be one who makes for peace, and he's gonna love people on all sides of the issue, and because he's the sovereign king of the universe. He's not for one agenda or the other. He's for his agenda. And so he's working sovereignly over all of it. And so we just have to trust and submit to him and intercede on the behalf of our Israeli friends and our Lebanese friends and others who are facing really, really treacherous times.
Well, you know, we are looking at Gen Z and now Gen Alpha coming up. Gen Z is the first generation that was born post 9/11. And we know one of their defining characteristics is that they inherently see the world as unsafe. And they felt that even more after COVID because everything was ripped out from under them, you know, their whole world as they knew it. I remember my oldest telling me, you know, one day during all of that, saying, you know, everything you prepared me for in my senior year, none of it happened. And basically, you don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, it seems like the world is unsafe. And now our kids are seeing images of missiles and they're coming home and talking about those things. How can we talk about this with our kids, being realistic about the conflict that's occurring, the dangers in the world, but still point them to the hope of Jesus?
It's a really difficult issue to navigate. I think I'd like to give here's step one, step two, step three, but it's not quite that simple. I think partially it is parents and grandparents demonstrating a faith in God that goes beyond cataclysm or crisis, whether it's a storm or a war or whatever. Demonstrating authentic faith is a big deal. And so when we panic or we maybe cower in fear instead of trust and place our faith in God, I think that signals the next generation to do the same thing. And so us walking in an authentic faith, I think, is a big deal. But then secondly, we have to have real conversations about these things with our kids and grandkids. They're seeing all of it in real time. And it is an anxious thing to watch in and of itself. And so having the discussions like, why is this happening, helping them understand things geopolitically, helping them see human faces. You know, one of the things I've tried to do on my social media over the last week is post real faces of people I love in Israel, people I love in Lebanon, and show like these are human people to make sure that our kids don't do what we tend to do, which is dehumanize whoever we determine the enemy to be. And so I want my kids to see like these people are human on both sides of the equation. And then to admit, I think as Christians, sometimes we have an overly simplified view of the Middle East from a very Western American perspective. And we should admit that this is much more complicated than most of us understand. And the culture is wired very differently than most of us understand. And so to lean into God here where we don't understand things instead of just spouting things like, Israel should X, Y, or Z. You know, you hear like very inflammatory verbiage in homes, or Lebanon should X, Y, or Z. And really it should be, how can we be praying for them? How can we help people on the ground that are innocent in all of this, and what should we be as Christians in the midst of this? Part of it is helping them learn to be peacemakers, in a sense, not peacekeepers, that's different, but peacemakers that are like people who really lean into understanding that wherever you're from, you're creating the image of God, and the loss of life is devastating, no matter who you are or what side of the boundary lines you're on, and to help them understand theologically that God so loved the world. It's not that he has a favorite team. He's for his agenda, for his kingdom. And so I think we just have to discuss these things and talk about them. And I think what happens mostly is either angry speech at home or just nobody talks about anything. And really, parents and grandparents could do the next generation a great favor in discussing in real terms what's going on and what do we understand and what don't we understand, and how could we be even part of the solution on the ground level in the United States? Because the war actually, it spills into the U.S. and in policy and in protest and sometimes in terroristic acts. And so how can we be a part of the solution in the day-to-day, I think, is really important as followers of Jesus.
And you're saying be part of the solution by humanizing, recognizing that people are made in the image of God, and recognize that this is complex and there's so much that we don't understand, Brian. Honestly, you know, I feel like you've walked these ancient paths. I've never been there, and I'm trying to understand and I'm trying to listen. But at the same time, you see, you know, acts of terror that are absolutely not okay, and that grip the hearts of all of us, and we wonder, can that happen here? And I think we all think yes, it can, and it is, and we see a lot of uncivil discourse, and like you said, just kind of a, you know, angriness, and sometimes we don't even realize that we are angry. So sometimes I think just stopping to recognize and respect our emotions and think, this is making me angry, the injustice of it is making me angry, and helping our kids talk through that is so important. And you know, Brian, you have family in these areas. You have also walked the path of disaster. You were part of the Hurricane Harvey relief, very intricately involved in that. I would just love for you to close our time together. We just have about a minute left, but would you just lead us in prayer for everyone everywhere who is just dealing with these things that seem so heavy? Would you just lift us up?
Sure. Father God, we come before you today as a people who are very finite, and we don't understand everything. But thank you, God, that you said that we could trust in you for everything. And so all of these burdens, whether it be storm and the difficulty in the aftermath, or whether it be just from our seat, what we're seeing on TV and how we're interacting with the issues and what we're thinking about every day, Lord, all these things, we lay them at your feet. God, we know that you're sovereign over all of it. And as devastation is happening, at the same time, you're working for the restoration of all things, that you've done it through Jesus. Your word tells us that these things, wars and rumors of wars, particularly in that region, will happen. And then at the appropriate time, at your appointed time, the end will come, which is the beginning of everything made new. No more tears, no more crying, no more pain anymore, says your word. And so we hope in you, Jesus. We trust in all of your promises. You are the Prince of Peace. And you said to us, blessed are the peacemakers. And so fill us with your peace and help us to be agents of peace in the world today. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And to my listeners, wherever you are, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I'll see you right here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.